And welcome to the show, Geeks Are Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comics, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. You can always contact us at geeksarewired@gmail.com. Our phone number is 801-896-435-GEEK. Our Patreon, you can set up to monthly instead of per episode if you like. There are great things going on our Patreon page. You should check it out. You can always do these super, super cool things, such as...
talk to us on our Discord channel.
On our Discord channel. And
get the episode at least one day early. And so, if we get enough subscribers, we might do a live show. You can watch us live.
Well, we've already done one live show. Although it wasn't broadcast live.
Yeah, we would broadcast live.
But yeah.
But right now, we don't have a whole lot. We need to, you know.
Yeah, if we could get a call-in show going. It'd be the most boring call-in show ever because nobody ever calls us.
We might be able to get a live call-in at that point. They could chat with us on the Discord live while we're recording live.
Oh, man. Oh, we could have like a AMA.
Yeah. Basically, as soon as we break $100, that's when we'll do that, okay?
We'll do an Ask Me Anything on the break
well, $100. Well, not AMA, like a Q&A. That's what I meant to say.
Qua. Not a AMA. Qua. A qua.
Qua. So, yeah, so back with this. So I am one of your hosts, Bill, and this week we have Alex.
Important life hack. If you use a silicone rubber muffin tin, you can use it as an ice cube tray as well and get very large, kind of like a semi-round ice cubes. They're pretty good in your water with a little bit of whiskey over it or just in like a plain old soda.
So some would say semi-muffin shaped ice cubes.
Yeah, they're kind of muffin cubes.
Ice muffins. Yeah, I realized as soon as I said cubes, I was wrong. Who else is on the podcast?
Well, actually, among other interesting things, you also can get the game that Alex made.
Oh, yeah, I made a video game. If you want to hear more about it, there's an ad Bill can put here. Boop!
Hey listeners, do you like party games but wish you could cooperate with your friends instead of beating the pants off them all the time? If you're like me, losing? Get ready to throw garbage at dinosaurs. Robo V Dino is coming to Steam and itch.io June 19th for Windows, Mac, and Linux. You and your friends collect trash, throw it at dinos to knock them out, pick them up, and then throw the dinos into the goal to keep the clock running. But you have to be quick. Dinos wake up and chase you down. Robo V Dino is great for players of all ages and skill levels, with intense arcade action for 1-5 players. Robo V Dino comes out June 19th for $4.99. But if you buy it at launch, you get 15% off. That's less than a cup of coffee to throw garbage at dinosaurs. Add Robo V Dino to your wish list today and get notified the minute it comes out. Visit Steam and search Robo V Dino. That's RoboVDino. And add it to your wish list. Or visit RoboVDino.com for more info. Thank you. Now back to your show.
And there it was.
Did you really do it?
It was very great.
It's going to be like right around that spot.
I'm sorry. I blacked out after I said boop.
Is the ad there? Is it done? Can I talk yet?
Yes.
Oh, good. I don't have anything to say.
And we have Anna.
Hello, I'm here. We also have Ted.
That's me. I'm Ted. Killer life hack. If you get hot.
If you get your
what do you call them, the little things, the gloves that you put on for picking up hot stuff?
Hot pads. Yeah.
If you get hot pads wet, it will give you severe burns.
Yeah. Did we introduce?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good advice. I got like a hot pad all moistened up and tried to pull a pizza out of the oven and it didn't go well.
Yeah, yeah. It does not work because the heat just transfers through the water and burns you up. This week,
weird how that works.
We also have
an Anthony.
Hello. I don't have any amazing life hacks. I'm sorry. I wasn't aware that was part of the show.
It's brand new.
Oh.
This is the life hack corner.
One time only life hack corner.
All right.
One time only until we do it again.
Tell us your life hack.
My life hack is be nice.
That's actually working really well for Bill.
Also have tremendously large amounts of luck.
That's what we had discussed before. Am I just optimistic or am I lucky?
I think it's a little of both.
A little bit of both?
I think you're just optimistic.
I think you're pretty lucky, Bill.
It's a Texas sharpshooter fallacy.
Everything.
Texas sharpshooter fallacy. When we play video games, he does not win most of the time. But he still enjoys himself.
Okay, when there's like a drawing or some other kind of raffle, he wins. Most of the time.
I did win an Xbox.
Yes.
And I won a $100 Amazon gift card.
Woo!
And gave
winners!
Gave it to poor people.
Bill and Ted win things.
We're lucky.
We do have a Bill on the show, too.
Yes.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Again, I kind of introduced myself earlier.
Yeah.
But I like being introduced, too.
All right. So the first thing on our agenda today is Pokemon Go is finally going to allow trading with friends.
Actually, it did.
It did. Sorry.
Did. On June 30th.
Okay, full disclosure. We are recording this before this went live, but the news story indicates that it's going to happen.
So if the news story is wrong and it didn't happen, well...
And if Pokemon changed their mind during their upcoming Pokemon Go
summer
tour. Like
they find bugs or something.
So you add a trainer as a friend with their code, and if they accept, you'll get a new friend list, which you can have up to 200. And then you can increase your friend level by doing gym and raid battles together, exchanging gifts, and then which you get the gifts at the Pokestops that you can give to other people. And then some items will be available through, 7K eggs with the Alolan Pokemon.
7K eggs?
Yeah, it's an item that's only available for the gifts, and it has an Alolan Pokemon. As your friend level increases, you also get other rewards at specific milestones. And then you can trade. But it looks like in order to trade as well as you can, you have to like increase your level. So,
And you have to be physically...
You got to be physically close to each other.
And that's probably to stop people buying and selling stuff, right?
Yes.
Probably. And it looks like you do get candy of the Pokemon received in trading. And it can increase... If the Pokemon traded were caught in locations far apart from each other. Oh, okay. So if you get a Pokemon on the East Coast and another Pokemon on the West Coast, and you trade those, then you can get some good candy for it. So Pokemon that aren't from the area are going to be higher value than, especially if they're like Magikarps or Whalmers or something that requires a whole bunch to evolve. Although lately there's been a lot of water Pokemon everywhere, so
it's the water event going on right now. So
I know, but
and then after that my Whelmer's not getting any more candy and it'll never get evolved.
I have 350 candies for my Whelmer's right now. I am so close to
evolving. Like the 170s.
I'm kind of bummed because I got enough to evolve the cloud bird thingy.
Oh, yeah,
and then I caught a shiny one after I evolved a different one.
Was it a good shiny?
No.
Oh, well then.
I haven't had any luck with any of those shiny. Actually, one, I haven't gotten any shinies, but that's a different story.
I got a shiny Charmander. That's not any good, but I got a shiny one.
Yeah.
Shitty Charmander?
Yeah.
Shiny Charmander?
No. No, it's a beautiful Charmander.
Oh, okay.
Has a yellow tint to its orange normalness. And the evolved one, when it gets to Charizard, is black instead of red.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The mid-range the Charmeleon, doesn't look that different.
No, it doesn't.
It's kind of underwhelming, but the Charmander is the best.
I mean, you either leave your Charmander as Charmander or you evolve it all the way to Charizard. You don't really keep it in the mid-level.
Yeah, who wants a Charmeleon? Dorkiest Pokemon ever.
Anthony, I think I'm with you with my Whelmer.
It looks like
Whalmer.
It looks like you got to get it like level your friendship pretty high in order to trade shiny. But I'm thinking I might just open a Ditto store. So anybody wants to buy Dittos from me?
I got a lot of them too.
I have like 12 of them
to fill out a Ditto dream team.
So I do like that you have to. You have to get their friend code. So somebody can't just can't just be jerks out there that go like, give me your Pokemon.
Well, you also couldn't like hack someone's account and just steal other Pokemon from them. Mm-hmm. You'd have to like work with it. Yeah. It'd take you some time. So that's at least nice.
This might be being introduced because of the Pokemon games that they're coming out with. Go Pikachu and Go Eevee. Because I've heard there's supposed to
two games.
There's two. I've heard there's supposed to be allowing trading between Go and
I heard it's one way.
Yeah, I guarantee it's one way. Catching stuff in Pokemon Go Pikachu and Go Eevee would be way easier than with Pokemon Go.
That's okay though, because some of those you can't put in gyms. Like all these legendaries that we've been collecting, you can't put those in gyms, as far as I can tell.
So
I never tried.
So I mean, you can fight with them, but that's about it. So, you know, having the legendaries in the game might be more beneficial to you than having them in the
having the legendaries in the game is harder than having the legendaries in Pokemon Go.
Oh yeah. So the other reason for also
in my experience,
so Niantic decided to go with. The two reasons for having to be close together is make real world social friends.
Social interaction.
Real world. Talk to people. And making sure you can't just fill out your Pokedex through remote trading.
Yeah.
It needs to be fun.
Which I think is probably a pretty good balance.
I might have to review my decision to get rid of anything but Wonder Pokemon now, though.
Yeah.
So you should catch them all and also catch your friends.
There you go.
You mean I can catch Ted?
Yeah.
Sure.
No, Bill's already got him. Okay.
Holy cow. Your hands are so
you
cold,
add them,
Bill.
Then you can trade with him.
I'm Captain Cold, Lich King, whichever you want to go.
I like Lich King.
Have my cold bony fingers on Ted.
Quillfish.
That would be, you know, ability wanting to trade off, you know, all, instead of like just grinding up the Pokemon, you might be willing more to trade them out.
Yeah.
I'm currently showing Anthony all the new Pokemon that I didn't have that we caught when he declined to come with us.
Oh. I was playing Zelda.
Because there was like three or four that we caught, or I guess it was just two, but that we caught that we hadn't seen before. So
we were getting nothing.
They were the evolved versions of.
That's plain.
Well, I don't know about the quillfish. Is
that's
plain.
Breath of the Wild. I've got lots of quillfish.
Yeah, this one, they were hard to catch last night.
Well, they're hard to catch anyways, yeah. But, yeah. No regrets. Was playing Breath of the Wild, the DLC. Loved it.
Have you got the motorcycle yet?
No.
It's pretty cool. It's worth going through that quest.
I actually forgot there was a motorcycle.
There's a motorcycle in Zelda?
Yes. In the DLC.
It's in the DLC. Was it part of the first DLC or the second DLC?
I think they did do two. I think this, I want to say the second part, because it's the, I guess, sort of spoilers, it's the reward for completing the Champion's Ballad, which is like...
Oh man, I'm almost done with that one.
Yeah, the motorcycle's really dumb. It's not really worth it. It's basically just like a horse on demand, but it's kind of funny to use.
Yeah. Looks like it would be. It also looks all...
The best part is you have to feed the motorcycle. You like put like you put like food in its gas tank. And that's what powers it.
I saw that on the Back of the Future.
Yeah, it really is. The experience is very much like the Mr. Fusion.
That's pretty exciting.
The Master Cycle Zero.
Yeah. Zero.
It's kind of funny because there's this, I don't know if it's meant to be tongue in cheek, but when you complete the quest, at that point to get the Champion's Ballad, you have to have like unlocked all, like beaten all the champions levels already and then gone through this. Zelda does a voiceover that sounds very much like, Link, please, you're powerful enough. Go stop Ganon. But like, I don't know if it's meant to sound exacerbated and tongue in cheek, or if it was like, if it just like accidentally came off that way because of the sheer ridiculousness of there's a giant monster that's going to threaten the land and Link is getting a motorcycle.
Hey, priorities, man.
He lost last time he fought him. So he needs to make sure that he's got,
hey Zelda, I need this bike. Why don't you get off my back?
You sound just like Link. That's crazy.
That's why he's in talk. He's just that obnoxious.
Yes.
I thought he just existed in a constant state of surprise.
I guess it's canon that Link has spoken in the cartoon. So and Link was indeed very obnoxious in that. So that's a material fact to the Zelda universe that Link is a dirtbag.
All right.
Would you say Link 182?
No.
Okay.
So we're going to go into spoilers, which is going with our title.
The Great Spoiler.
Which means we're spoiling two things. So yeah. We're going to start off with Incredibles 2.
It kind of sucked.
Hold up.
So if you haven't watched it or you don't want the spoils, go watch them. Come back. See you next week.
Okay.
Whichever comes first.
I don't know.
With that, all spoilers ahead.
Okay. So I don't know if you, whenever you watched the original Incredibles last. For me, it's yearly, so it was fairly recently. I'm not joking. But at the end of the movie,
you were, but go on.
That's fine. At the end of the movie, you have this new supervillain coming out called the Underminer, and the movie starts off with that, like right where it left off.
So
15 years later.
No, not 15. 18.
18 years later.
18 years later.
The thing that got me about this movie, there was a couple things. First off, the first quarter of it was really boring. It was just boring and drawn out, and I didn't enjoy it. Like,
I don't know.
It wasn't clever. It wasn't interesting. It was just boring. Once they finally got into the action and everything, I started to enjoy myself again. But
it started off with action.
And that was okay, but once that stopped...
Well, I mean, you gotta have a lull before you have action again.
Yeah, but there can be lulls where the dialogue is interesting and everything. So that's the first thing. I was just bored. The next thing was... I understand they aged, but the voice actress that played Elastigirl...
Yeah.
Like, her voice just threw me off, because, like, the lady has aged, and she sounds like a much older woman than Elastigirl is, and it's just jarring. It's just problematic for me.
You could say the same with Mr. Incredible too. He sounded much older than he looked.
I found it more with her though. Elastigirl.
I didn't even notice with her.
There were a couple times in the movie that I was not convinced that she was the age that she was, because
she sounds like a much older woman.
I'm picturing like a Joan Rivers situation.
Yeah,
it's pretty up there. Holly Hunter.
But you know that if they didn't do the same voice actors, people would have revolted.
I don't care.
Eh.
It was jarring. But and the plot was pretty like predictable, but I'm not gonna give it I'm not gonna ding it too much, but I kind of dislike it when you can tell like less than halfway through the movie that who the bad guy is. Like it was pretty obvious that the girl making all the tech was actually the protagonist.
It was a guy.
But it's obvious that it was her. Like, she was always like down and talking it, like using the same terminology and stuff. It just,
I know, but like, I always thought it was the guy up until it wasn't. That was my view. So the same group, but a different person.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know. It's a superhero movie.
Yeah, but it wasn't a particularly good superhero movie.
That's how superhero movies work. They're somewhat predictable.
I still enjoyed the second Incredibles. It was different from the first one, and I kind of like what they did as far as the storyline, as they kind of continued it. But I was thinking that they would have probably wanted to get like the characters maybe in a different time frame, a different time point than like possibly the next day from the first movie.
Yeah, I was thinking it might.
Even Samuel Jackson's an older man.
Yeah.
But the thing is that
He sounds the same as he did back when he did.
Yeah, I think so. Die so Hard I think yeah. I think there's a certain age where it doesn't change that much for those time frames. But like if you get like someone, I think Elastigirl's probably supposed to be in her like early 30s, maybe. I mean, she's got young kids, but they're not.
I was thinking, I mean, late 30s.
I don't think she was that old.
So, like, I don't know.
So the boy or what's his
Dash?
Name? Maybe it is Jet.
Yeah. I think the voice actor changed on him. I haven't confirmed.
People
it,
didn't. Did you revolt?
I looked it up and they did actually pick another younger boy to actually voice.
They did. Huh. Yeah.
For Dash. So they used a different person to actually voice him on the second Incredibles.
But he's a kid, so I don't know.
Well, they both were. But that's the other thing I was thinking is because they also had Jack-Jack. Which, you know,
it's not like Jack-Jack talks, so it's I mean, he just makes baby noises. So
In fact, I think the only word he said was bad guys.
Yeah. And maybe like mama, but not
really.
Yeah,
mama,
yeah.
Like but baby that's,
dogs. It's the same. Yeah, know, so it's technically the same actor, but yeah.
I don't know. Sense. It's like how on Guardians of the Galaxy, Groot is Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I think that's a weird choice, personally. I don't fully understand why they, like, Vin Diesel had to play that. I kind of have a problem with like regular actors doing cartoon, like doing voice work for cartoons. Like,
why?
Because I think there's a lot of really talented voice actors out there.
Yes.
That just do voice.
Mm-hmm. And they do lots of voices.
Uh-huh. And I would rather see them in the cartoons than the,
but
like
some of the
actual
real
other
actors, some of the real actors, I thought have done very good. Nathan Fillion, Castle.
What is he?
He plays Green Lantern. On a lot of the Justice League cartoons.
Oh, I haven't heard any of those, but I think you know there's plenty of
How about Ryan Reynolds playing the animated Deadpool?
Well, it makes sense to have.
When did he do that? Because I thought it was Nolan.
No, more recent, I guess. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about recently. Yeah, there's like another like signature Deadpool that was. I can't remember his last name. I just remember Nolan because I had a friend growing up named Nolan. So I'm like, oh, that's the one of three people that I know named Nolan. So I internalized that one.
Yeah, but so yeah, he could. If it's a like a live action movie that they then adapt to it, it's a little more permissible. But I just think that there are plenty of voice actors that do a really good job that they don't have to have the big name actors.
Okay, but what about the voice actors that went to become real actors?
They're real actors.
Okay, now okay, live action actors.
Yeah,
such as
Tara Strong.
Who's that?
Harley Quinn. She also is the voice for the baby in the, I forgot the Netflix show you like where bad things happen to everybody.
A series of unfortunate
events.
Yes,
she's the baby in that one. Speaking of baby.
You can go the other direction too, though, like Mark Hamill. Like,
oh, yeah. That's actually the only reason I think his career was saved.
Because he went from acting as Luke Skywalker, and then he later on voiced for the Joker. And I think there are certain exceptions when it comes to actors actually crossing over between that voice acting and just the regular acting.
Adam West?
I just think it's unnecessary.
Adam West?
I think
he went and made a Quahog.
I think that people cast actors, like, you know, live action actors to play in animated films so that they can say that person's in there. Vin Diesel is a perfect example. Like, there's no reason that Groot had to be Vin Diesel.
Well, I don't. Right? They
he
never really
add
like
anything extra to that.
I had to look that up because I didn't know. Like, they never really.
They
like,
say
bragged.
It in the movie. It's in big letters, Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the movie, but
and Rocket, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
And was that? Does that bother you?
I don't know who that is.
He's in the Hangover movies.
Yeah. So
he's like a B-list actor.
I don't know. He's been a lot of.
But that's the thing. Like, you get these big A-listers like Samuel L. Jackson.
Would you consider Vin Diesel an A-list actor?
At one point, I would have.
Yeah, at one point.
I mean, he's done all of those Fast and the Furious. He did the
The Forget Physics movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically.
Ted Williams.
The ones with the never-ending runways.
Yeah.
But he's an action star. I just think that people just like they see a name and they fixate on that name when there's more talented people out there that could be doing the voice acting for these that would do a better job. And I think this is a perfect example of that.
A lot of voice actors out there too. And they also have careers.
I like to think that with Groot, Vin Diesel saw it and was like, yeah, that looks fun.
If you know, I could see like begging to be in the movie and them just being like, okay, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
And where it doesn't matter because Groot is just, his lines aren't. I mean, I can understand Vin Diesel probably wanted that's because it's only medium difficulty to remember all your lines.
This isn't even his first one. He did Iron Giant. He was the voice of the giant.
Did he say, I am Groot?
No.
Come on. I was making a joke about his intelligence and you just ruined it.
If you take an actor or actress that's not an action star, like, for instance, Brittany Murphy, and have her do the voice of, like, I think it's Luann in King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts as far as voice acting, like with actors or actresses that way?
I don't know. I just like my main point is that when you get a cartoon,
I would say he's a voice actor before famous voice actor before he was a famous action movie actor.
Vin Diesel.
Yes, he was in Saving Private Ryan. Nobody realized that until afterwards. He was a voice actor in Fifth Element, and he was a voice actor in Iron Giant. Iron Giant, people realized who he was before they realized who he was in Saving Private Ryan. Like, people go back and go, oh, yeah, he's in Saving Private Ryan. The guy that gets shot.
That's whatever. But the bigger point that I'm trying to make that I feel like is getting lost here is, you know, cast whoever you want. But when you're trying to sell a live action film, you sell it on the basis of the actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the movies, they won't get made unless they have like a big A-lister or whatever.
Usually, yeah.
But then you get these cartoons and they just demand to have the same group of people. At least one of these people has to be in the movie in order for us to do it. And I think it's garbage because there's tons of really talented, you know, voice actor people.
Like Kevin Conroy.
Batman. I'm sorry.
He did the voice of Batman while Mark Hamill did Joker.
Okay. Yeah. Like that was a good Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's the point. Like my point is that people just ignore voice actors.
I think
that is the case. I think that is because otherwise they wouldn't have to get...
You know why I'm naming them off and you don't know who they are.
I couldn't name a voice actor either.
I think if people are like deeply invested in like animated performances, they'll typically like look up who it is. I mean, it's the same thing like film actors. Most people are like, oh, it's that guy from that thing. But if they actually like care enough about the movie, they'll actually look up the IMDb for it and remember it. So
like, I recognize the voices whenever I hear one that I like and comes on a lot, but I don't know their names.
Nolan North. That was the Deadpool I was trying to think of.
Okay. Oh, I think I'm okay about like Yakko.
His name was Rob Paulsen.
Rob Paulsen. He's Yakko, and we've got to, he's been at conventions.
Yeah,
him and Jess Harnell. Wacko. Actually, Dot has too. Tress McNeil.
I don't know those names like right off the bat.
They also do like whacked out tunes. They're like do the story of Harry Potter, but with these various voice actors, voices they've done.
Mm-hmm. No, I've seen that. And see, those are the voice actors. I think those are, so when you cast this other person just because she was in the last one, and I don't know, I just. And like having the guy from Coach playing the Mr. Incredible, I was against that
from the beginning.
Really, I think there was a lot.
So
of
you were against basically all three of the main actors should have been somebody else
for this movie. Yes,
ah.
And I think the guy who played Kronk should have been Mr. Incredible. I think he would have done a better job. What's his name, Annie? You know, Lemony Snicket.
Patrick Warburton.
I actually don't know.
Yeah, that guy. He's an awesome voice actor. He's got this amazing voice.
But he's known for his actual, you know, his
somewhat,
action.
Somewhat.
He's the Tick.
Yeah, because tons of people love the Tick.
I kind of did at that time.
How many also, blockbuster movies has he?
He was in like in how many years of Rules of Engagement?
I'll add my input to this and check when the column for Patrick Warburton being a name recognized from voice acting. He's Brock Sampson on the Venture Brothers.
Yeah, no, he's done a ton of voice acting, and maybe he's done some like live action movies and whatnot. But really, like he's known for mostly
Kronk.
Yeah, like Kronk.
Well, that's what cartoon. I mean.
Men in Black, was like why I looked him up in the first place. I was like, who's like, I got to see like what the Brock Sampson voice actor looks like, because he can't look anything like Brock Sampson. And it's, I mean, it's not like uncanny or anything, but it's like, oh no, I can actually see this person. That's that there's a lot of continuity between this person's physical presence and the murder Swede in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was in Men in Black 2, I think, but and maybe the
five
first
years
one,
of Rules of Engagement,
a TV series,
yeah. A TV show, yeah,
yeah. But honestly, like he's a freaking voice actor, yes, primarily. Right.
I guess I've seen him physically act, and now
that's
crap,
in your
he's
brain.
A lot of
I think
video games too,
I think that's just a travesty, because to me, like I know the same voice actors. I'm always pointing them out, aren't I, Anna?
I know what these people look like too.
He can tell the voices, like even if I can't tell,
like
he's better.
I'll
at the
be
voices.
Like, oh, this is that person. This is that person, and I won't know their names, but I'll know like the other roles that they played. And I'm like, if you listen carefully, this guy here is that. So
I don't know. I think they would have got a lot of backlash if they were to change it the second one, especially where it took them so long to produce it.
I don't know. It's just her voice really kicked me out of my suspension of disbelief for like the whole movie. To me,
it didn't bother me, and I bet to most people it doesn't bother them.
Like,
and that's what they were going for.
Like, they should. It was almost like a Dr. Girlfriend, but she wasn't Dr. Girlfriend the first one. Like, if she'd had that same weird sounding voice in the first one and this one, not weird sounding, but just older sounding, I think I would have been a little better with it. But
like me, I think most people just don't care. But it's the same voice actor. And like people's voices can change quickly. They cannot change hardly at all over the years, as we've noticed with Samuel L. Jackson. But like with Dash, they changed it because he's like 10 or 8 or 12 or whatever.
Well, if you said they were how many years? It can't be 10.
No, I mean,
The character.
The character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if 14 years later, you throw on a guy who's
gone through puberty.
Yeah. 26.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a problem. And that's the thing. I think they should have chosen someone else after they heard her voice.
Yeah.
I really
like our incredible spoilers are they changed the voice actors.
Yeah, <no. laughs>
Well, that was Ted's rant.
Yeah, I'm over it now. So I will say that Jack stole this movie.
Yeah.
Like he was the ultimate star of this movie.
And, nom nom cookie.
And his the powers and like having the whole like subplot of them like trying to figure out how to like control an infant's powers when he seems to have infinitely many powers, like
and randomly. Love,
yeah, he just like sneezes and like disappears through the roof and ends up in like an alternate dimension or something. Like it's just amazing. Like
my favorite part was that whenever he phased into the other dimension and Mr. Incredible at this point was on like days and days without sleep, and he just phases into the other universe, and then Frozone is just freaking out, and then Mr. Incredible is like, oh, I gotta get the cookies.
Well, but
holds
his
up
voice,
a cookie and then says, nom nom cookie.
His voice is like echoing eerily throughout the entire house.
Yeah,
you can hear
true.
Him like, nah, nah, nah.
And Mr. Incredible is just unfazed. He's like, here, get your cookie.
That was pretty awesome.
And then
the fight with the raccoon.
Yeah, the raccoon fight
was awesome, especially how tenacious the raccoon was.
Yeah.
Like Jack turns into like 30 or 40 little babies to fight him, and the raccoon's like, I'll take you on. I don't give a crap.
Favorite part from that was whenever he gets tangled up in the chair, and then Jack goes
starts on fire,
and then the raccoon's like. Eek. Like terrified for his life.
Yeah, it was kind of reminiscent of the squirrel that likes the nut in the
yeah
in the nut shop.
No, Ice Age
movies. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Scrat.
Yeah. It was reminiscent, but it wasn't like a full ripoff. It was just like a little kind of a homage.
Yeah.
To that.
So back to Anna's point, she mentioned this like 20 minutes ago, probably at this point. The timeline that it was at, I was expecting it to probably either to be real time or at least a couple years after the event.
Not the next day.
Yeah, well, it's not even the next day. It's the same day.
Yeah, like a second later. Because
it picks up right where it leaves off, yeah. Which, in some cases, is cool because that doesn't happen a lot in a lot of movies. But in other cases, it might have been better to see them progress.
That is not talking about animation. You can do that.
Yeah, with animation, you can do that.
Sometimes you'll make a prequel that ends right at the same spot as the movie that it's the
like,
prequel
Star Wars?
Ends or begins with.
Like Star Wars?
Like Rogue One.
And they do it like incongruously, so his questions no longer make sense.
All right. Anybody else got anything on this movie before we...
Pew, pew!
I really did enjoy just kind of the change in how Mr. Incredible, like in the first movie, he was actually the breadwinner and he actually went to work. Yeah. And then at some point he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they kind of got thrown back into the superhero just kind of model and role. But in the second one, where it just kind of picks off like where it kind of left off, I know that they were still trying to figure out how they were going to afford everything. And so eventually Elastigirl was the one that was able to actually get a job. They were kind of negotiating with just kind of new characters that we kind of get introduced to in the movie.
Well, and it kind of challenges the whole... you know, I'm the macho man. I'm the breadwinner of the house. I'm the
and he hates
super
it.
Masculine. Yeah, and it's nice to see that like he wanted to be the one that was providing for the family and that was doing everything, and he was forced into this other role. But he didn't shirk away from it. He might have been a little hesitant to want to accept it and a little sour about it, but you know, he ends up, you know, waking up at in the middle of the night and like reading Dash's book until his math book until he understands how to teach him math and everything. So, and you know, it kind of shows like in a way like the difficulties that raising a family has when you're the one staying with them the whole time. And I think it's, but at the same time, it kind of does reinforce the stereotypes of like women are better at staying home and men are better go getting the money, getting the food and whatnot. So that's a little backwards, but you know, whatever.
I mean, they were going for funny there because
times have changed.
Yeah.
Anybody can stay home. Anybody can go to work.
And they were, and
they were trying to
based
say
on
it,
when
then...
this is based on when this movie takes place, like the timeline, based on the way the cards look and stuff. And the way the TVs look, that would have been kind of a not standard.
Yeah, it seemed more 50s-ish. Viewpoint.
It's 50s, 60s-ish, yeah. Back when superheroes were really big, like the comics and stuff.
Except for now.
Except for in the 40s.
40s? Is that when they were big?
Well, it cycles in and out.
And I kind of did like the protagonist. What was his name? The screen hacker, screen slaver. Yeah, terrible pun. Love it.
Which I heard, if you have any epilepsy, you might not.
It's not Pokemon. It's not Porygon level.
But like his whole her whole message of like, you know, you superheroes make us weak. They make us make bad decisions because we're just going to be saved by the superheroes. And I think there was a lot of like question authority, question bad laws, kind of message that I feel like we kind of need in this day too. So I felt like there was a bit of a bit of a message, a anti-authoritarian message in a time where we have more and more authoritarian.
Not necessarily anti-authoritarian.
Well, no, they're like going against the law. They're going against the authority, and And it was kind of from both sides, right? From the screenslaver had a very like counterculture, anti-authoritarian message, whatever. But also the whole idea that they were just going to go out and blatantly break the law to show that the law wasn't just. And I think that's, you know, civil disobedience is a good tool. And I think they showed it. I think they demonstrated it pretty well.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to wrap up.
Oh, yeah.
With the one more. No, not famous last words yet.
Oh, okay.
We're going to move into spoilers for Solo, the movie that people think is bad, even though it's not.
Yeah, there's a lot of
negativity bad?
About the internet.
Yeah, back on the internet, hates they destroyed my Star Wars.
Like,
but
there's just so much negativity on it.
We're beyond the point where we're spoiling it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're not.
Solo came out before The Incredibles 2.
I know.
Quick interjection here about Solo. Was it just kind of inoffensively bland? Like it just kind of rehashed like things that are already well-established plot lines in the Star Wars universe? Like there wasn't anything new in this? Like
no.
Han shot first.
Okay.
That answered that question.
So there wasn't like... I mean, like, they're obvious, like getting mad about a movie is like silly, but so this movie, like all the reviews that said that was just like a bog standard Star Wars movie, like where did that come from?
I don't think they watched the movie, really. Like some of these people, I question. I'm like, what did you go see? This is not bland. Also, I think a lot of people are still going off of like the old stuff that Disney has scratched. They just got rid of. They kind of like messed around with some of it, but like the old unofficial, even unofficial at the time, was like Chewie has a life pack for Han. That's why he is sticking around with him. They kind of played around with it, but they didn't actually say that.
No.
And on the other side, as many times as Chewie saved Han, there's no way he still owes him a life pack.
Yeah.
I think he's more like a pet.
Who, Han?
Yeah, Han is the pet to Chewie.
Yeah. I mean, he lives longer. He has a longer lifespan.
I've heard plenty of fan theories that Chewie's actually a girl, and those two are, you know.
That was something else also a lot of people were complaining about is Lando and his robot. They're like, oh, he's pansexual. Yeah. That's not right. I'm like, no, I totally see Lando being that. I don't really see, you know, this, them, whatever.
I think...
But Lando definitely is...
They hinted at that.
The difficulty...
Flamboyant.
I think the difficulty of fleshing out some of the characters in a more broader light or being more specific about certain things is that people start to identify themselves with that character. And so if you change or you elaborate
on
what the character is and where they come from and, you know, the sort of things that they're liable to do, then the people who identified with that character, it risks like, you know, either betraying something about themselves that they're not willing to admit or just kind of alienating them that way. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because I think it's important to show more, show people in more of a broader light. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, so you've got someone and you're just going to like, it was the 70s. So you could just hint about possibly this person's acts a little flamboyant, but we're not going to say anything about reality because that still wouldn't be accepted by the status quo. But and at this point we can be a little more like, yeah, love is love and whatever, this person, you know, has this complicated relationship with this robot and, you know, he's down for whatever, like that's his choice. And, you know, that represents a valid slice of humanity. And so our media should represent who we are as a people.
Also, I really did enjoy L2.
Yeah, the robot was pretty awesome. When She started the revolution in the in the mine.
Honestly, I don't think he should have been surprised. Like, you won't believe what I'm seeing. She's like, a slave revolution and robot revolution. He's like, what did you do? It's like, really? You should have been like, first thing would have been, what did you do? or I mean, at L3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought that was an amazing L337. Character.
I didn't know she had a last name.
And there, it's just L3 upside down.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I liked the dynamic between the two as well. I thought that was that was pretty amazing.
I admit, with Donnie Glover being Lando, when I first saw the trailers, I was like, I don't know how this is going to quite work. You know, it'll be interesting.
Expecting him to dance and then shoot someone in the head.
I don't know. No, I wasn't like Donald Glover. Like, I'm just like, what I've seen him in other things. Because isn't he from like Community or?
He's incredibly versitable. Like, yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff, and he does the.
Maybe that's why
all that music and everything.
I think I've been watching Community lately, and that's why I was like,
yeah,
you're right. He has done tons and tons.
I mean,
of
Childish Gambino. I don't necessarily like
voice
his music,
actor
but...
Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at that.
You know, Spider-Man,
China Illinois, which is a terrible show that nobody should ever watch. But yeah
he's played Spider-Man.
He's going to be Simba in The Lion King.
Yes, and the new one.
And I'm okay with that because he is just doing everything. So,
they have so much with this. I really enjoyed it. This is the new Chewbacca. This isn't the previous guy, though. They still had him as reference in the credits. I forgot his name, but yes. I don't think he can do the Chewbacca as much as he used to.
So I really like the scene where they meet and like Han like starts trying to speak. Wookiee.
Which makes failing. Sense.
And like, well, in the other movies, he never ever tries because they kind of have this agreement that his Wookiee sucks.
Yeah.
But at least he can understand it. And that's good enough.
Even when people are like, oh, how does everyone know? That's another of the hate. How does everyone know, Wookiee and droid and all this? Is like, well, you're talking about lots of interaction. And plus, this guy grew up on a really bad planet with.
Very multicultural.
Yeah. Just of course he's going to know. And plus, hey, if I have to go start speaking Spanish, I'm gonna probably not do very well.
yeah. So you can pick it up and whatnot. Like, I've been studying Chinese on the Duolingo, which I'm really enjoying, by the way. But at this point, the vocabulary and everything, I don't hear it very well. I definitely can't speak it, but I can read it pretty well. So, which is something that I didn't expect to have happen, but. But the point is that like when I try to speak Chinese, Anna just laughs at me because
it's a very tonal language, and if you say it wrong, you can get it really, really wrong.
So, that's kind of an interesting thing. So, I can see that dynamic, and I like it, and it makes sense that you would be able to understand more languages than you could necessarily speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that seems to be a common theme among like. All the Star Wars movies, like people understand other people.
Yeah.
I actually thought when he was first speaking it, I thought he was just like gurgling or like choking. And apparently like if he really was and Chewie took that as like speak, that'd be extra.
Well, he did actually continue to say, of course I speak. Yeah.
So
I did like they had Warwick Davis in this. There was talk that he would be in it. He played one of the Ewoks in the old one.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. He didn't have to get an Ewok outfit. What else? Also, I found out there was a Back to the Future reference.
Really?
Yes. When his friend Needles ended up doing this trick.
I must not remember.
Yeah,
that part.
Made a pencil disappear.
Needles.
Yeah, he made a pencil disappear.
No, he made him race. They raced.
Because Needles is the
who raced
is the crazy person.
Marty raced Needles.
Yes. Needles is the crazy person in Back to the Future 2.
No, he was his boss. He was like, okay, he was the crazy person. He was the one that would have got Marty in 3, would have got Marty in the wreck. And he in 2, he was his boss.
Okay, I'm just wondering, what was the reference?
That was it. He was a racer. Oh, okay. They raced. It's like my friend Needles did this, was a really good driver.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
So yeah, but I liked the moral ambiguity of Han just throughout it, because you didn't know.
He didn't want to be the good guy, but he
ended up being the good guy, and then sometimes he just wasn't like that good. He's kind of like Ash from Army of Darkness. He's like not that good. I mean, mostly good, but you know, whatever.
He so lives neutral in the, leading to good.
Yeah, the moral ambiguity tends to fall on the good side leading rather good, than the I mean. Bad, but tends to just kind of look out for number one, which is that what that character is supposed to be, right? In general. Mm-hmm. So I liked it. I didn't like the ending where, you know, Darth Maul shows up and she's like,
well, he's crossed Darth.
Selling her. Oh, sorry. Whatever. Where she's just selling her soul to the.
No, she already did sell her soul.
Yeah. Like I didn't care for that.
I understand what was going on there.
I'm interested in Crimson Dawn and their. This is okay.
Like I understood, but I don't know why she did it.
I think she's already had to go through so much to prove her. You know,
she just didn't want to throw it away.
But I don't think it's not. I don't think it's not that. Have. I think she could have left the organization as deep as she was at that point. Other, even though she was like purchased down. Or whatever.
Especially her, yeah, like we're working together. In other words, he worked with her boss. Now he's working with her,
and she was basically second in charge at that point. Like at the point where she like we enter the story, she was like Han worked hard in the military and then like joined up with these thieves. The rebels, but. And not then, the rebels, thieves.
No,
they were not rebels.
He joined up the Empire and then left with the thieves.
So you know what's interesting to me? So in the Star Wars movie, the Space Nazis Star Wars movie.
You're talking about 7.
Probably 8.
Or 8, you know, either one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the one with, I can't think of his name.
Kylo.
Vader.
No. So who was the guy that they gave the Infinity Stone to in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Thanos?
No. The first Guardians of the Galaxy. They gave an Infinity Stone to this guy.
Doctor Strange?
No, it was like the collector. The collector.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so, Guardians. Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Holy crap. Wow. So that actor.
Yes. He was also in Rogue One. No, he was in Episode 8. Yes.
Right. He was in Episode 8. But the thing is
I don't know why I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of
famous. Yeah, he's a pretty big star.
Like, what do I got thinking?
I can think of a bunch of movies that he was in,
but Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, he was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So, anyways, so whenever I remember this movie, I think of Benicio del Toro as the leader of the outlaw gang group that Han joined up with, and not the guy from Jurassic Park. It was the guy from Jurassic Park, right?
It's Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. Oh, Woody. Oh, God.
Well, you're even getting that one mixed up.
Yeah. Like, my memory has replaced Woody Harrelson.
I remember
with
National
Benicio
Born Killer.
Del Toro.
And Zombieland.
No, he was in Cheers.
And Cheers. I forgot about that. Yeah, Cheers.
So,
man, that's
Cheers has
Hunger
ruined.
Hunger Games. That's where I remember seeing him. Hunger Games,
yep. Cheers has ruined Woody Harrelson for me. Because he will always be Woody from Cheers. Like, no matter what I see him in, I always see Woody from Cheers. Natural Born Killers? No, Woody from Cheers. Like,
isn't he in Tu Wong Fu also? Or am I thinking?
No, I don't think so.
Patrick Swayze was in Tu Wong Fu.
Patrick Swayze.
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes. And then the guy that was in Swain.
The clown from Spawn.
What's his name, Anna? Tu Wong Fu.
What? I'm trying to remember.
John Leguizamo.
Oh, that's right.
Super, like, flamboyant
John Leguizamo.
No.
I meant
Woody Harrelson. When like he played a cop, and then I don't know. I'm thinking of some other. We're just gonna walk away from that one. Yeah, back to
keep going.
Yeah,
but yeah, like my brain doesn't say that it was Woody Harrelson. It says that it was Benicio del Toro. Like I can't not.
Which, no, actually, you know, which you're still mixing up with. The guy from Jurassic Park.
No. Well, oh. Yeah, I was mixing up Woody Harrelson with the guy from Jurassic Park because
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Anger Management. when he's like super,
super flamboyant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Yep. I had to finish the sentence.
Yeah. Thanks.
Probably should wrap up this podcast too. Good. Everyone enjoyed it though that saw it?
Yeah. Solo?
I like Solo.
Yes.
Better than Incredibles 2.
I recommend, if you're still listening, go watch it in theaters because it's good in theaters.
If it's still,
if it's not too late.
If it's still there,
it'll probably still be there.
It'll be hanging on those last few. And we're going to go with famous last words. Alex.
Check out the Steam Summer Sale, and in particular, Robo V Dino. It's on sale for 15% off. Boom.
Ted.
Check out the Steam sale where you can get particularly Robo V Dino, where it's on sale for 15% off. Boom.
Anna.
Check out Incredibles. Jack-Jack is awesome.
And don't forget check Incredibles too.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, Incredibles too.
Incredibles too.
I mean, he's awesome in both of them. Let's be fair. But.
Yeah.
Check out the Geeks Are Wired Patreon page at patreon.com/geeksarewired, where you can get the podcast early and chat with us on Discord. Boom.